Thank you for being here tonight. We've really appreciated everybody's effort and our attendance. It's been wonderful. It is 316 day. We gave out a little bracelet Sunday, but there's still some left over just on the back tables if you want to grab one when you leave. We thank our small group, one of our small group Bible studies, for preparing the meal. If you didn't come to dinner, think about it next week. And I used to be a part of that small group Bible study, but they kicked me out. So, and then we thank Jim Rose for bringing special music to us today. We appreciate that. We rise for opening hymn.
The symbol we lay before the cross today is the soldier's whip, an instrument of punishment and coercion. Of the elements before the cross, the whip is the only one used by Christ as well. With a whip, Jesus purified the temple. With a whip, we destroyed the temple of his body. On the inside.
Lord Jesus Christ, we confess
our minds to your holiness. We are so easy to touch you, God, of our own destruction, and we try to destroy the God you revealed. Help us stay close to you, Jesus, our hope. Help us stay us to the cross. We use the whip to remind people with pain and scars of their trespass. Jesus cleansed the so that we might meet freely in prayer with a God who forgives. Almighty God, you know our sin. You know how we misuse our power. Our lives are filled with guilt. Wash us and make us clean. Help us to lay down our instruments of destruction. Teach us to be a reflection of your love and grace. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Mold us into the image of Jesus, in whose holy name we pray. Amen. And please be seated.
Invite the children forward. Good morning. Oh, good evening. Wow. Usually when I have my dress on, it's morning. But right now, it's good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
So Mrs. Olds has something really neat for you today, a craft. You're going to get a little... I've never noticed this before. I've seen the brown cord, but I've never seen this. The brown cord's to the organ, but Mr. Heldrav, you know what this is to? Well, there's one way to find out. We're going to unplug it. How's that sound? So I'm going to count down, and when I hit one, I'm going to pull it apart. 3, 2, 1. Oh, boy. Don't panic. Vicar, get the emergency light bulb out. Hurry. We have an emergency light bulb, then I can plug this back in. Oh, yeah, he's getting it. We have an emergency light bulb always in the church. Yeah, he's got a good idea, doesn't he? Yeah, hey. Oh, thanks, Vicar. Yeah, now I think we can plug this back in. Let's see. We'll do 3, 2, 1 again. 3, 2, 1. Ah! I got it. I got it. There you go. We should really make them come to rehearsal. Today you're making something really neat. You're going to make a little candle, and it lights up and has different colors. And today we're talking about the I am statements of Jesus and the one where he says, I am the light of the world. And that's what you're going to learn today. So I want to thank you for coming up. These are really cool, and you can go with Mrs. Olds now.
Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Here ends our Old Testament lesson. We rise for the Holy Gospel. Our Holy Gospel is from John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Here ends our Holy Gospel lesson. You may be seated for the hymn.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to tell you, at the 1 o'clock service, things did not go as we planned. The vicar and I walked in, everybody's sitting in the chapel. We had forgotten to light this light, and so we're trying to light it, and everybody's laughing, and it won't light. And it's a brand new candle. Now, this new candle has a canister in it like this that you can seal it up. Well, it turns out I had the empty canister in it. I shared with the 1 o'clock people, I'll share with you just interesting story why we got this new candle. We have a candle almost identical to size, and we use it often as a memory candle. If we do a wedding off-site and we're remembering loved ones, and we'll put that on the altar by the cross. And I have to take that with me to all these weddings. And the old one, it doesn't secure on top. So when you get to the wedding, usually out in the parking lot, I pour the oil in, lug it into the building, and when I'm done with the wedding, take it outside, pour the oil back into a container with a funnel. Well, this one wedding I did, I got there and it's upstairs, so I'm bringing all my stuff in. And the father of the bride, he said, can I help you carry anything? And I didn't tell him anything about the candle, so he picked up the candle and laid it on his arm sideways. His tuxedo was covered with this liquid wax. Now it gets worse. The next day he calls the church office wanting to know what kind of liquid wax we use because he broke out in a rash. A lawsuit's coming, so we got a new candle. Jesus, the light of the world. God created the heavenly bodies on the fourth day, including the sun. Without the sun, we can't live. We can't have life. In my backyard, there's some bushes that are rather tall around the perimeter of the yard, and my neighbor has trees that overhang over those bushes so they don't get the sun. And over the years, they have grown out toward the lawn because they want the sun. They need that life-giving sun. We can't live without it. Without light, there's darkness. And darkness doesn't exist on its own. Darkness is the absence of light. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus is talking about being light of the world. And I think you really need to put it in some context of what is happening at this time. Why are these words so powerful? We think it's in the fall. In the fall of the year, it's the celebration of tabernacles, a seven-day celebration. There's an eighth day attached to that. We're really not sure what the eighth day celebration is, but for 7 days they would stay in the tabernacle. Now, a tabernacle is, sometimes you'll see in the translations, a tent. So it's just a makeshift hut, and for 7 days the Jews would stay in this makeshift hut that they had built to remind themselves of the wilderness journey, the 40 years they traveled in the wilderness. As you recall, God would lead them, and at night, because sometimes they would be on the move at night, God would go before them as a pillar of fire. This could be around Jesus' birthday. Why do I say that? Jesus may have been born in the fall, right during the Feast of Tabernacles. We have some clues in the Gospel of John. Remember, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're synoptic Gospels. John approaches the story of Jesus' ministry and life in a little different perspective. In fact, he starts off with almost the same words in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God was the Word, and the Word was God. He writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." That word dwelling in the original language is tabernacle. Now, God came to be with us. He came to tabernacle. Why would John use that word? Unless he wants it to connect it to that fall feast. And in fact, it was also called the season of joy. And what are we told? The angels come with announcement of great joy. Also, we find that the shepherds in the field, they wouldn't be in the field with the sheep in the winter, but they would in the fall. This very well could be around Jesus' birthday. John also says in that first chapter, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. Jesus here is talking about how he is light. When there is light present, darkness does not exist. And the darkness that Jesus confronted could not overcome him. The religious leaders, when he says, I am the light of the world, they're all upset again. I am, meaning I'm God, and now saying the light of the world. They're upset with him, and they say, you know, a testimony cannot be accepted in court. This was the law of the Jews. You could not have one witness give a testimony. It would not be considered worthy of court. You had to have two people in agreement on a testimony. And so you can tell they're picking a fight with Jesus. How can you give testimony? You are speaking on your own behalf. And that's why Jesus involves his Father, referring to his heavenly Father, and really pointing out to these religious leaders that they are so in the dark, they cannot even see the light. There were three festivals, including tabernacles, and where Jews had to go to the temple. It was required. So you can imagine, there are so many people in the city. It's filled with light, excitement, and activity. The Jewish celebrations were always joy-filled. Now, we're told that this is called, this portion of John is called the Tabernacle Discourse. Okay, so there's a lot of conversation with Jesus and other people. And John does a great job of recording conversations of Jesus. Here he's in the temple. Now, we're not sure. Remember, it's a seven-day celebration. It's probably just after. It might be the day after the eighth-day celebration. We'll talk a little more about that. For this celebration, there were three courts. There was a court of the Gentiles. That's where the Gentiles could go and worship in the temple. There was a court of the Israelites. That was for the male Jews. And then the court of women. And that was a very public space. It's where everybody could gather. And there were chambers in there too, like the chambers of oil. They stored oils. The chamber of musical instruments, Rick, you'd be happy about that. They had a chamber of musical instruments. And so in this court of women, there are four candle stands. And each candle stand has four candles on it. We have 16 of these candles that are being lit. How big are they? In the Midrash, the Jewish oral tradition, we're told they were 75 feet tall. And the wicks for these giant candles were the priestly garments that were no longer worthy to be worn for worship. And so they would be burning these garments, these big candles. It would illuminate all of Jerusalem. The temple's on a hill. You can't imagine the sight. And there would be dancing and music and celebrating. How appropriate it is in the court of women. When Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden, God makes a promise. I will send a Savior, not from the man, but from the woman. The light of the world is given birth into this world by a woman, Mother Mary. How appropriate these torches burn year after year for this celebration, a foreshadowing of the true light that would come into the world. And notice when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he also says, follow me, because these lights in the court of women were to remind them of how God led them in the wilderness in the dark by a pillar of fire. Now, this is all fresh in everybody's memory. They just celebrated it. Now, we're told on the great day, that's a reference to that eighth-day celebration. We're not sure. It's somewhat mysterious. On that great day, Jesus proclaimed that, you know, who is thirsty, come to me, and you will never thirst again. I'm assuming that this happened, this conversation with the religious leaders happened the day after the great day. But The vision is still in everybody's mind of these great torches. And now Jesus says, I am the light of the world. How powerful that is. We're told in Scripture, his word is a lamp to our feet. Have you noticed recently in culture and society, things are changing? What's up, people say, is now down. What's down is now what's up. It's confusing. And people are telling us what we can say and what we can't say. They're telling us how we're supposed to think. But it's God's word. It's God's word that gives illumination. It's God's word that is truth. Now, you know, if you're like me, you'd like to take just like that big light bulb the vicar was carrying. Take that light into the dark areas of this world and reveal to people how wrong they are. Don't you get that desire sometimes? But really what we need to do is come into the light ourselves. The scripture does say, come into the light that your deeds may be revealed for what they are. And if you're like me, oh, there's some things in the light, but there's a closed door in your soul. It's dark in there. There's certain behaviors, certain things, certain thoughts, certain beliefs, and that you have no desire to reveal them to the light. You have no desire to come to terms with those things. And yet that is the beginning of healing. That is the beginning of overcoming those things. And yet we hide. We're so afraid. Maybe we rationalize all that we do, those dark deeds. The I am statement. Egoi amen. That's the Greek. You notice that first word, egoi? What's it in Latin? Can you think of it? Nobody? Ego, thank you. See, you see that little thing I just did? The word slipped my mind, so I had her fill my sermon in. Learn, Vicar. Ego. So often that's our problem, our ego. I, me, you. And it's coming to terms with who we are and what we are. Lent is a special time. Not to reveal the sins of the world, but to reveal our own brokenness, to deal with our own darkness, and let the light come be a part of that. The eighth day, what is the eighth day about? We have this Feast of Tabernacles. They stay in these huts. Now, remember, that's the wilderness journey. They finally get to the Promised Land. We're told when Jesus announced that he is the true living water, it says on the great day. And often you'll find in the New Testament, you'll find a reference to Jesus' return, and it will say on that day, and many times it's capitalized. I think that's a reference to the eighth day. As they made it to the Promised Land, so the eighth day is when God gives us a new heaven and a new earth. Traditionally, many pulpits, old ancient pulpits, have 8 points to it. And it was to remind the preacher never to forget to preach on the eighth day of creation. God is not done creating. He sent his son to die for us. He is the light of the world. He rose again. He overcame sin. He gives us the gift of eternity. And one day he'll return, but at a given time. How important it is for us. John 12, believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. Matthew 5, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do the people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You look at that building project out there. That's our light. We're shining that light. And let us shine that light faithfully, for one day he will return. Listen to this passage from Isaiah. We heard the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah, talking about the birth of the Messiah, the light. Listen to him talking about that eighth day, that new heavens and new earth. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. No more weeping, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. Listen to this passage of Revelation that's speaking about that eighth day, coming into that new heaven and new earth. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or a moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is the lamp. Jesus is the true light of the world. In our wilderness journey, as traveling behind that pillar of fire, we travel behind him. And as we make our journey, we are the light into a dark world, that people may see our good deeds and praise our Father. And yes, come into the light and find the gift of eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Kings, he is Lord of lords. Jesus Christ, the first and last, no man works like him, for he is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. Jesus Christ, the first and last, no man works like him. King Jesus rides on a milk-white horse, no man works like him. The river of Jordan he did cross, no man works like him, for he is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. Oh, Jesus Christ, the first and last. Oh, King Jesus rides in the middle of the air. Oh, calls his saints from everywhere. Oh, ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder me. Ride on, King Jesus. Ride on, no man can hinder me. King, he is the Lord. Oh, yes, he is the King, he is the Lord. Oh, Jesus Christ, the first and last. No man works like him. Right on, right on.
We rise for prayer. God, with you there is no darkness. Your character has no shadows, and you are pure and good. Yet in our broken world, we see so much darkness around us, pain, sickness, disease, and war throughout the world. Bring your light and restoring presence to the dark places in our lives and in this world. Bring your hope to hearts that feel defeated. Bring your love and compassion to those in pain. Give us faith to say, Lord, you light my lamp, my God illuminates my darkness. May your light of hope shine in the darkness for us today. Show us glimpses of your presence with us and the comfort you bring. All this we ask as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.